What's good, everybody? It's your boy Anonymous, the author, aka Anonymous Rap Guy, and I am back with another podcast episode, man. Yeah, it's official. It's official. Back on here doing the daggone thing here. So yeah, man, it's been a minute since the podcast has been live. It's a minute since I talked to you guys. It's a minute since I really been doing anything or led the world in on what's going on. So, just to give you guys a little update, before we get into the quote by Ben Shapiro. So I've become a voice artist. I've been working from home. I got the sound set up to get some, what you guys don't see is there's like a whole studio, like a small little studio outside of the frame, literally just outside of the frame. Like if I pan over just slightly, it's chaos. But, yeah, I became a voice artist. So please feel free to hire your boy. You can fire me on Fiverr. Links to everything is in the description, as you already know. So feel free to put some money in your boy's pocket or just tip on here. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, in order to make an income for myself, I know I didn't want to go back to the workplace after everything that's been going on. And, I'm just trying to become like a somewhat of an entrepreneur, which is why I'm getting back into business and, doing this, trying to get more into the media and stuff. So, yeah, man, I've been doing our voiceovers and I've really been loving it. I've really been loving it. If you know what I'm saying. I've been told that I've always had a good voice, so I figure why not, try to make some money off of it. So, I'll just let you guys know, like, totally let you guys know what's going on behind the scenes, because, not like anybody cares that much anyway, but I got, 30 minutes to fill up with me talking, so let's go. I've been, if you're interested in becoming a voiceover artist, or if you're interested for yourself to, make some money from home, or, you need a little extra money, or you don't like the current situation you have and want to branch out, this is just how I got started, or how I'm starting, because it's not like I've been doing it for months, but I figure why not pass on some information to, anybody that can use it. I do have hands. I'm sitting back chilling right now, so I don't talk with my hands that much. But I do have hands. I didn't become a voiceover artist because I lost my lost my hands tragically in that cheeseburger eating contest. I get real aggressive with my cheeseburger eating. You know what I'm saying? I bit too hard, lost both arms. Well, no, they're down here. Well, what if they're not? What if they are really gone and these are just fake? Like they just, somebody's just operating them. And actually, I have, there's a guy behind me actually that's helping me maneuver everything. I'm basically Mr. Oblong. If you remember the Oblongs, that's me. That's exactly what I'm shaped like. This is just, a weird guy that I have, outside. Oh, dang. I was gonna try to like, yeah, see, he's over here now. Oh, he's crazy. Oh, see, he is a fake person. Now he's over here. If you're just listening to this, I sound crazy. I'm sorry, guys. Y'all know that I'm a little off my rocker. But what I'm saying is this, if you're listening to me. I wouldn't be mad if you do, though. Should I start over? No, I shouldn't start over. This is what the podcast is. It's me being stupid. So as I was saying before I was really interrupted, I'm going to have to edit this so terribly, guys. Anyway, these are my tips on how to get started in becoming a voice artist in the year 2022, or the tips that I used to make a little bit of extra money, a little bit of side cash. So, just get a voice reel started. I mean, just really, not, I won't even say a voice reel. I would just say start recording yourself talking. Like, just get started. If you have no experience whatsoever in voiceover, just start recording yourself talking. Like, just go for it. Like, just absolutely go for it. Just whatever you think, whatever you hear, imitate stuff off TV and just record yourself doing it and play yourself back and then compare. If you can remove the quality, depending on what you're recording on nowadays, iPhones and stuff like that are pretty good recording devices. But record yourself talking and just see how you compare to the thing that you actually just listened to. See if you've got the right inflection, if you've got the right pausing, if you've got the right pacing. And then once you get confident in doing that, I just suggest getting into like Facebook groups or on Twitter or Reddit. Just find these groups, voiceover artists, search a job search, voiceover, just had a bunch of them. And there are always people looking for, people to do certain things here and there. Some may be paid, some may not be paid. But once you start getting into the groove of like, hey, this is deadlines and recording for yourself and, you know, learn to edit a little bit. There's all types of tutorials on how to edit your stuff. I use Audacity. It's so easy to edit in Audacity. You literally just go in, remove. It's super easy. It's a million and one tutorials that you guys can check out. I'm more than willing to give people tutorials if they want, you know, just leave a comment and I will absolutely send a link to you guys out there. But, yeah, just start recording on everything. Once, like I say, once you get comfortable with that, download. I want this to be as free and as cheap as possible. So I suggest personally downloading Audacity for a beginner, completely free software. I still use it currently. I'm probably going to be upgrading soon because I've noticed some limitations in it. But for beginners, download Audacity, you know, record yourself talking, learn. There are a couple things that you need to learn as far as mixing and mastering, but, put these notes in your head: noise reduction, amplifying, limiter, and filter EQ. Those will all make sense down the line, but just put those in a mental note in your back of your head. So really easy to get started on just recording and editing yourself. And then once that starts, then dude, just, I signed up for Fiverr and Fiverr and Upwork and Voices 123. And I started getting work damn near immediately. Like once I got the whole mixing and mastering my voice down, and dude, they pay good money, like good money. I've been doing this like a month and I'm like 1,000 in already. So yeah, you could definitely make good money. And I'm not even like pushing it that hard. So like people make good money doing this stuff. So why not? Hey, what I always say, I don't need all of it, but let me get just peace. You know what I'm saying? Let me get a little peace back. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got to be Phil Lamar. Samurai Jack. You ain't got to make me that much money. No, he's a very popular, actor, a voice actor. Y'all ain't got to make me that rich, but hey, hook your boy with a little pee. You know what I'm saying? Give me a little piece of the slice. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, I'm sitting all the way back. I'm having myself a good time. but anyway, man, yeah, I got a good show for you guys today. I keep saying we, but it's literally just me and Pikachu back there. Generation One, man. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Because people think, when I say Pokemon, I don't mean Generation Two. Okay? I mean the red and the blue and the yellow, the Pokemon, the gameables. Okay? And then the original first season of the Pokemon. Okay? I'm not talking about the extra 150. Up until the point where he got to, what is that? Who was that? Professor Elm? The Pokemon collector, when he got to say, hey, this is Kabuto, this is, y'all got the 151 with the Mew and the Mewtwo. Hey, that's where I checked out on Pokemon. I said, hey, that's all I need to know. I said, I was out. Then they talking about, oh, well, now we got a Chimera. I don't know if this is a Chimera, but we got this. Hey, look, bro. Pseudo Wudo. Listen, bro. I don't do those, Ugo. That was terrible. I don't do those, new bros. Hey, okay, that's a little better. That's a little better. This is all live, so ain't no going back. This is why they don't hire me for live TV. It's because I'm terrible live. But anyway, like I was saying. Yeah, I'm just gonna jump into the quote now. I just been rambling, so why push y'all through any more terribleness. Let's just jump right into the quote, man. Let me reach over here and find it for myself. All right. So today we have a quote by the controversial, oft entertaining Ben Shapiro. Y'all know my motto. I'm always into hearing everybody's point of view, everybody's arguments, everybody's ideas. Freedom of speech is a thing. So, yeah. And for the people that want to cancel me, because I'm amplifying a bad voice, no one watches this podcast. So, I'm not technically amplifying anything. But, no, man, today I just have a quote by Ben Shapiro. It is a quote about what I kind of want to theme the podcast around. Not in a negative light, but just in a, I don't know, positive light, I guess, if it's not going to be negative. I try to be as positive on here as possible. I try to give y'all love and hope and insight and positive vibes with fart jokes. So, you know, I mean, some people like it, some people don't. It's not for everybody. So the quote I have for Ben Shapiro is, it's just like when I do voiceovers. I mess up like 18 times before I get a good voiceover in. Okay. Every so often, we all gaze into the abyss. It's a depressing fact of life that eventually the clock expires. Eventually, the sand in the hourglass runs out. It's the leaving behind of everything that matters to us that hurts the most. So yeah, that's a quote by Ben Shapiro. I kind of want to break that down a little bit. I've gotten away from doing this in the podcast, so I definitely wanted to bring it back to its origins, which is basing it around a quote of, you know, a quote or a literature of somebody famous or something like that. So to break this down, to start off where it says, every so often we gaze into the abyss. This is a phrase that I've heard a lot about, that I've heard a lot over the years. It's just, you see how the dark things can get. You see when there's like, oh, this is like the abyss is like all encompassing, like the end, like the absence of life. It's just an abyss. You know, let me look up the, cause I feel like sometimes we think we know what words mean, but let me go to a deep or seemingly bottomless chasm. So yeah, you stare into the abyss, you stare into the bottomlessness, the endlessness lacking of, and sometimes in life, sometimes you get there and you can see it, you can feel it, you get depressed, you just feel like everything that you do is just nothing. Like no matter what I do, no matter how many rocks I throw in this pit, there's just no, there's no end to it. And it's just something that I'm stuck staring into. And it's just the darkness or whatever. But I want y'all to hang on to that fact that staring into the, every so often we gaze into it and we see, we actually notice it. We're conscious of it. Like, oh, you know, I'm gazing into the abyss. I'm seeing the bottomlessness of life. And then he says, it's a depressing fact of life that eventually the clock expires. I mean, you know, time runs off everybody. Like some people will call that cryptic language, but it's just straightforward. Like, listen, the clock runs off everybody. Like you literally don't have a clock on your chest. It goes, you know, ding, ding, ding. Oh, well, I'm dead. You know, oh man, I just put it in the hot pockets. You know, it's not like that. It's just, now I really want hot pockets, but it's just the fact of like, you know, eventually everybody's life comes to an end. Eventually the sand in the hourglass runs out. Same kind of concept. You know, time runs out for everybody. Eventually that's the just another way to say another more colorful language, more cryptic, colorful language than just saying you die. You know, it's the leaving behind of everything that matters to us that hurts the most. And that's that feeling of you longing and you wanting something and you wanting like, oh, just like I just was joking a minute ago, but oh, the hot pockets, you know what I'm saying? I'm leaving behind my hot pockets. Yeah. Hey, the cheese, the pepperoni and the cheese hot pockets is the only one that matters. Now debate with yourself. Okay. I'm not here to fight with you, but the ham and cheese is for serial killers, but that's not what I'm here to say. Okay. What I'm here to say is that it's the things that we love the most while we're here that we want to hold on to, that we feel like we're abandoning or we're losing, when we pass on to the afterlife. And that's what, you know, people feel like that, you don't want to get sick. You don't want to get old. You don't want to die because I'm going to miss out. Hey, I'm missing out on, I'm going to miss out on the new Game of Thrones episode. You know what I'm saying? Game of Thrones ain't even on TV no more. Okay. That's how much I'm up with pop culture. I'm going to miss well, I don't even know what was popular back in the day. I'm going to miss the new Beavis and Butthead on the MTVs. You know what I'm saying? The new Leave It to Beaver is on this week. I'm going to miss those rascals, you know? whatever's popular. But you feel like you're going to miss out on these things. So it's the feeling of, oh no, I'm going to get old, die, miss out on this. And no matter what I do, there's nothing that I can do about this. That's just the depressing fact of life. And my point to all that is simple. That was everybody, B. Everybody gonna die. That it sucks. You don't wanna tell a baby that, because you know they can't wrap their head around it. But listen, we all die, fam. Sometimes you go quick, sometimes you go slow, sometimes you go on the toilet, sometimes you go laughing, sometimes you go busting a good one off. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. Talking about grapes, people. Sometimes you be out in the grape farm and you squeeze one, head explode. I don't know what I'm talking about. That was a terrible joke. Okay. y'all get to see jokes die in real time. That's something beautiful. That is something beautiful. But like I was saying, man, it's life is fleeting. That's why we got to make the most of it. But it's also that's also the dopeness of it, is that you can control how you want your life to play out. Now, a lot of time people are born with a bum hand. Now, I'm not going to act like people aren't born with terrible, horrible hands. But even when you're born with a horrible hand, you still have the option of being a noble, upstanding person. You still have the option of having morals. You still have the option of choosing to have an impact on other people's life in a positive manner, even if it's nothing but holding the door open for somebody, or, you know, helping somebody carry something to the car, or saying, hey, people so touchy these days. So I don't know what I was going to say. You can say, hey, you look good, but hey, don't tell nobody that. Don't tell nobody it look like nothing. Okay. Everybody is a gray blob. You don't know nothing about nothing. Okay. That's the way we going to do it. That's the way I've learned to operate. I don't see nobody. I don't know nothing. Okay. I don't know nothing about the past or the futures. Okay. I just know that I came here for some milk and eggs. What aisle are they in, sir? Or human. That no, ain't no, sir. What aisle are the milk and eggs in? Jack. That's what I call. Listen, everybody Jack. Hey, Jack. Hey, no. Okay. But I start calling people Dominique. Dominique is the most unisexual name in the history. No, Aaron. Aaron is the most unisexual name in the history. Hey. Aaron, hey, shout out to my Aarons over there. You know what I'm saying? That's what you got to start calling people these days. Because I saw somebody in the store the other day. I said, hey, I don't. Where's the bacon? Y'all know. Listen, we got to talk about it, okay? Because I'm big. At a certain level of chub, you know what I'm saying? We just all become like just amorphous blobs. Like we just become like indistinguishable. Like a fat dude, like about around 320. Like we all, listen, I've been there. But so I recollect my weight gain and loss. Sometimes certain builds of people from the back or the side or the front, if they got on the hat or they all, you know, sometimes people tuck their, it's like, yo, I just, you know, fam, you know what I'm saying? Like, listen, fat people, we got to come together and say something. We be looking alike sometimes, bro. Like sometimes, listen, this is not judging anybody for their weight, because you can be fat and fine. You can be skinny and ugly. It's all about how you choose to dress the decor. And sometimes, when you chubs, you're like, look, I'm just going to the store in a tee and some jeans, right? And a hat. And you like, I don't really care what I look like. But to the people around you, we got to go, excuse me, fam, can I, you're looking swell today, human, fellow human. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where I was going with that. All I'm saying is this. If you fat, I like you. Oh, I'm just crazily talking on the screen, man. I'm just crazily talking on the screen. Man, I need to lose weight, bro. I need to start working out more, to be honest with you. I really need to get it together. But that's a conversation for another day. So after that Ben Shapiro quote, I hope that y'all see that life happens. Take control of your life. Make the decisions that matter most to you. Impact life in a positive manner. And you really get to enjoy this thing called life. Like, I'm going to at some point do a self-help book, you know, because I need to help myself. Just because I need to read my own words. I've always been like a list taker. And I always feel like the first step to like improving yourself or getting back on top is to make a list. Like just take some self inventory of where you are in life. Like what are the good things, the resources and the positives that you have in your life, and like write them down. And then really enhance the positives and list the negatives in your life that are holding you back or that aren't moving you forward or that stress you out. And then start systematically trying to enhance the good things in your life and then reduce the bad things in your life. I mean, it sounds simple, but I feel like once in life you have a list or you have something you can physically go to every day and see exactly what it is, you literally see it every day, you start to notice it more in your life. And you start to, once you start noticing things more in your life, you start being able to be conscious of it. And once you're conscious of it, you're able to say, okay, I can continue this or not continue it. A lot of the times in life, man, some things don't change just because we aren't even conscious of it. Like you look up and you realize you've been doing the same thing for 10 years and you're like, oh snap, I didn't even realize. I didn't even pay attention to it. But sometimes if you had that thing in front of you, if you got that thing in front of you to say, hey man, remember, you know, every time you go out to your car, or you go outside to check the mail, or you go just get something to drink, you know, you're just walking in your own spot your spot, wherever you live. Every day you get up on your right leg. Every single day. You don't think about it. You just do it. You just get up on my right leg first. And then you start walking. Then I'm going to go get my water. I'm going to go get my mail. I'm going to go to the store. Every day you just start walk right leg. Right leg. And then someday somebody says, hey, man, why don't you get up on your left leg? You're like, what? I don't even think about it, man. Yeah, but you know, so somebody that's just say somebody you live with, like, hey, man, every time you wake up, you get up on your right leg, man. You've been having bad days. You know, you always stumble. I notice you get up on your right leg, you stumble, you hit your knee every morning, and you're complaining. You got a bad day. You go outside, you're grumbling and you're mumbling, you argue with people. And I noticed that you do that. Why don't you? He's like, I just, you know, and your response is, I don't know. I always get up on my right leg. You know, because I get up on my right leg every day and got worn down and got sore, I guess I stumble, I hit my leg. I'm just in a bad day. You got a sore leg, you got to go out into the world, you got to go to your job, you got to work, or you got to make this money, you got to go out and face the elements of life with this painful leg, and then I'm bad towards everybody out there, and in turn, they bad to me, and, you know, it's just bad vibes for me. And you've been doing that same thing for 10 years, and then somebody will notice it, like, hey, man, why don't you try your left leg this morning? You go, my left leg. I mean, why? You know, you gotta do some pushback. Anytime you want change, somebody gonna push back. What? What are you talking about, man? Get up on my right leg. Why would I wanna get up on my... Listen, man, you hit your right leg every day, okay? You ain't even got no kneecap no more, okay? Ain't even a kneecap. It's just okay? I'm gonna keep it real with you, brother. Look like a plank, okay? Say, Ned, Ed, Nettie. Okay, I want the best for you. So get up on your left knee. Your left leg. Don't get up directly on the knee. You don't want to make it look like the other one, but get up on your left leg. Get up on your left leg the next day. And it's the new leg. I mean, it's still your body, but is this the other leg? This ain't got the worn out every day. Get up. You know, I'm acting like you people get up on the right knee. You just bear down. But no, this day you get up on the left leg. This the good leg. This the new leg. You go, oh, all right. You walk out. You go get your mail, your water, you go take the morning drizzle, okay? Your morning piss, okay? I call it the drizzle. You take your morning drizzle, okay? But you notice, I didn't hit my knee this morning. Okay? I'm going to go outside today without the pain and the frustration and the strife of this pain in my leg because I didn't hit my right knee this morning because I got up on the left leg. He told me to get up on the left leg. So I got up on the left leg, okay? Then you out there in the universe. What's that old lady? Let me help you across the street because I got the good knee. Okay? Before I wanted to break this leg off in you. Now I can help you across the street. Now you're putting out positive energies. And in turn, the energies of the universe, yes, I believe in it, okay? I believe putting out positive vibes gets you positive vibes back. Sue me, okay? But now because you got the positive energies, now the positive energies coming back to you. Whole life change. Old lady, you done helped across the street, you know? You help her across the street, you say, oh, that ain't just any old woman. You know what I'm saying? That ain't just a random side piece. You know, that ain't no random grandma I just helped across the street. All right? That's Paula Deen. Paula Deen, see, hey, thank you, young man. Let me give you $50 million just because you're across the street. Because it can happen, okay? This can happen to people. You help Martha Stewart across the street. You know what? I don't know why I'm walking across the street by myself, but you know what, sir? You help me across the street. Let me go ahead and put you on this cooking show, make you a millionaire with Snoop Dogg and Guy Fieri. You know what, Martha? I appreciate it. Thank you. No, I'm not going to audition for you. You just go give me the job without it checking any of my credentials. Absolutely. Absolutely, Martha. These are the fantasies that I live in happily, okay? Don't give me no dose of reality. But like I was saying, hell is real. No, I'm sorry. Just start reaching. No, I'm sorry. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. Oh, what's good, bro? I see a comment now. Rap battle cover. Sorry, bro. I'm too busy. That's why I haven't been streaming or anything like that. Sorry, bro. I forgot to cut back on the comments. But I meant to add the comments in. Oh, I meant to add the comments in. I need to get like a... Oh, I actually do have a crane for that. I got my script here, guys. I'm trying to stay on track today. So... Yeah. So I guess we'll start with this. I guess I'll start with this, should I say. I missed you guys, and I've definitely been going through a somewhat of a depression, somewhat of a bad mental state, a lacking of, if you will. I've always enjoyed entertaining. I've always enjoyed putting on a show for people. I've always enjoyed having a good time. But for whatever reason, I've just been like really withdrawn in my shell these past couple of months, days. And I just stopped creating. And I mean, that's not fair to everybody out there that's been watching, that's been keeping up with me, that's been really open with me, that's been supportive, and that's really been helping. And I just want to say, like, first off, I'm sorry, y'all, that, I mean, it's always going to be something like, you know, I'm always going to take my own mental health first. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I'm always going to prioritize myself. But in the aspect of like people that I made real connections with and that I've like talked to and that I've talked through and that I've like, you know, y'all know who y'all are. I just want to say like, sorry for just like daggone abandoning y'all if it felt like that. But, like, I do take the community serious. Like, I do take everything that y'all, even though it's a small community, even though it's like not a lot of people, like, I do take it super serious. So on that aspect, I'm sorry for like, it's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you type thing. You know what I mean? But like I said, gotta take care of myself. That's always going to be my priority because ain't nobody else going to do it. So I might take, you know, little sabbaticals from here and there just to get myself right, just to get back in the right headspace. Especially when it's only me and like a small, super small team of people trying to get all the media and content stuff pushed out. Sometimes it does get overwhelming, but, you know, if you want to be top dog, you definitely got to be consistent. So I'm a try to, if nothing else, at least get this to you guys weekly, at least get this updated to you guys on a pretty regular basis, on a pretty consistent basis of the podcast dropping of me making content that I hope everybody still enjoys, that everybody still comes to check out, and that, you know, we can do something dope together. You know, we can build something dope together. But that brings me to not only the quote that I said about earlier with Ben Shapiro about staring into the abyss, but learning how I learned to enjoy my depression. And I know that concept is crazy. I know that concept sounds ridiculous and absurd, but I'll just tell stories that I think either somebody, it can help somebody, or that somebody can relate to it and that they can be like, oh, I've gone through something similar, or, you know, be conscious of it or try to redirect energies or whatever you want to say. You know, I always feel like sharing experiences at the end of the day helps somebody else who may be facing a similar experience that may be feeling alienated because they feel like nobody else does. So with that being said, I don't know what I'm talking about either. That I'm not gonna act like I studied this for 15 years at the DeVry Institute. Nah, this is not. This is just me talking from a personal experience and me. Sometimes I feel like I'm pretty self-aware about my processes and feelings, but self-analyzing in itself is an absurd thing because how can you be unbiased when you're literally analyzing the self of you? You're using the brain to analyze, you know, whatever. But I feel like I'm pretty self-aware, I guess. Self-analytical. Not really self-actualizing. But, yeah. I guess self, me self, myself, who self? Anyway, sorry. I'm going off on a tangent here. How I learned to, like, enjoy my depression. Like, I'm not an expert in this. So what I say is the experience that I have is that when I feel depressed and when I feel like I'm extending to the abyss type thing, like nothing I do matters, when I'm in that headspace, like, yo, I can't even get up out of bed because what's the point of it all? Like when you just feel like, man, not even just like the point of it all, but the things that are going good in my life are going to go bad. Like the games that the mind plays on itself are absolutely terrible. Absolutely horrible. And I've never been formally diagnosed with depression. So that's why I say self analyzing my own self that I do go through those bouts where you don't go to work. I've caught off work so many times because it's just like, yo, I can't do it today. Like I'm an introvert too. So it's like, it's double introvert. Like I can't be around people. I don't want to be around people this week. I don't want to go outside. I don't want to talk to anybody. Like it's my depression and introvert. Like I said, self-diagnosed. But my depression and introvert, agoraphobia, like being like the fear of going outside. Like I think I all suffer from all that, man. Driver anxiety. Like I'm just an anxiety riddled person, dude. I definitely laugh through it and I definitely, have had to learn some defense mechanisms to make myself feel better. Like smiling is always like, yeah, you know, it's like whenever I'm sad or depressed, I always smile. Or I laugh about it. I definitely laugh about it a lot. It's a cool defense mechanism, I guess, because like when you smile and laugh naturally, it makes you feel cheerful. So I feel like that's a good strategy that I've developed, to like trick myself and not just trick myself with people, but trick people around me. Like, you know, yeah, I got you, man. Like, pretty much anybody can laugh on command, so I don't want to make it sound like it's so super duper deep, but, yeah, like going through like depression and like going through being an introvert and like not wanting to be around people and to like being like feeling really happy when I'm like all by myself. Like it's gotten to points where like I haven't seen people for like weeks at a time and I have to remind myself like, all right, you have to have a strong bond with people. Like this is family. Like you have to stop by and say hi to people, you know, at least once a week, at least once a month to say hi, you know, shake somebody's hand or, hey, I missed you. Or, you know, what's going on? Or just be a functioning human, like message somebody, stay in contact, be a person. You know, and when you are already like that and then you have to go through like a mental space where you feel like you know, no matter what I say to somebody, they're going to take it the wrong way, or I can't really express myself in the right way that I want to be, you know, that I want to talk to people. Like sometimes we have this idea of how you want a conversation to go or what you want to talk to somebody about. And then it goes completely off the rails and you're just like, how did I, that's not what none of this was supposed to do. And it's frustrating and it's angering, but, like, I guess the best way that I've just learned to like handle the depression that I go through is to really find meaning in it. Like on those days when I'm like, man, I don't want to get out of bed. Like, dude, my legs are just melted underneath the sheets. They're just so comfy in the bed. The bed won't do me wrong. The bed won't abandon me. The bed only whispers sweet nothings in my ear about chocolates and cakes and pies. And you don't want to do anything. Like, you're just like, man, I'm just so happy here. I don't want to freaking move. It's on those days when it's like, yo, but I'm feeling this way and I'm like in my head so deeply that I can like see, you know, damn near all neurons, but you're in your head so deep. It's like, it's crazy, but like to find the meaning in what you're going through. Like when I'm really depressed and I don't want to go out, like I started creating, like I just started writing. I just started reflecting on my life and reflecting on memories and reflecting on the past and trying to work through it in my head. Like when I get really depressed, I become super analytical. I become absurdly, ridiculously analytical. Because it's like, I don't want to deal with anybody outside. So I just go into my own head. And at first it was really like depressing, but it got to a point where I like started meditating and it's like the negative feelings that I had, I realized that I had to work through them. And I feel like that's the only way I'm not a medical doctor because medicine is needed, especially if prescribed by a professional. So don't listen to me on that one. But I do feel like working through it in your own mind or being able to work through your own mental. No, that's wrong. Because if you do suffer from schizophrenia, yeah, I'm wrong on that front. I'm absolutely wrong on that front. Well, for me, I feel like, and maybe for other people out there, I feel like being able to manage episodes without the use of a drug or a narcotic or an outside stimulant, but having certain steps or procedures or guidelines of how to get through these episodes is what I feel the most comfortable doing. Now, this is for, like I say, my episode, like depression and stuff that I go through when I start getting these episodes, it's like, it's easy identifiable. Like, okay, I'm being a little meaner than usual. I'm being a little colder than I'm kind of cutting myself off. Like, okay, I'm going through, like I must be going through a depression bout because, you know, I haven't called anybody in days and weeks. I haven't, you know, engaged with anybody. I'm just kind of like all on my own. Like, all right, I need to turn this around. I need to reach out to somebody. Hey, how's it going? What you up to? You know, yeah, blah, blah, miss you, blah, blah, blah. You know, even if it is just going through the motions, like half of the time, the only way that I've learned to get out of depression is daggone going through the motions. Like, it's like, yo, we're having a get together. It's like, I really don't want to go to the get together, but I'll go through the motions even if I am bored, even if I am uncomfortable, because sometimes being around people outside, you know, you see somebody else laughing and you're like, huh. And you know, you'll catch it and you're like, oh, okay, there, that's a boost. Come on, let's keep going. But for introverts, it's hard to catch that energy because a lot of the time people just drain me. It's just like, oh, please. Please stop using the words out your mouth. You're just talking. Just be quiet, please. The words, they're just oozing out like Ivan ooze, please. But yeah, man, I that's just how I learned to enjoy my depression. I just learned to really be able to self-analyze, to be able to self-actualize. Like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I need to do. Even though I'm depressed right now, I can see everything that's going on because they say, I don't know how true this is, but I follow a page on Did You Know on Facebook. Check it out. I'm not endorsed by them, but I really like the page. That'll probably be the last thing you ever hear from me endorsement wise without somebody throwing some money in my pocket. So this is a freebie. They said that people who have a cynical view on life end up being more analytical and seeing life for what it actually is, like as far as not overestimating goals, but having like realistic expectations for life and being able to have backup plans, opposed to people who have a very positive and positive or overly positive view of life, where they're so happy and almost high on endorphins that they don't see life for what it actually is. They expect things to be a certain way, in a positive way, which isn't bad, but it's often not fulfilling, and it's often a skewed view on the world. So the person with a nihilistic view actually sees the real world for being so analytical and self-reflecting. I guess I take pride in that. I think that's pretty cool. I think people suffering from depression, we can really take pride in the fact that while depression can be crippling, and depression can be one of the, I don't want to compare it to anything else. It's just, it sucks. While it does suck, we can always take solace in the fact, like, it does give us a pretty dope worldview, I guess. That's horrible advice for anybody who's going through depression. So if you cancel me, I totally understand. I just talk through it. You know, this is my therapy, and maybe this is why therapists don't talk to people about what they be saying, because that was absolutely crazy. That was a rough go around. But what I'm saying is this, man, I learned to enjoy my depression, and I hope you do too. If you suffer from it, and maybe the world becomes a better place. I don't know. I don't know. But in other news, apparently, and I thought that this story was just freaking fantastic. I saw this the other day. Apparently, the states that legalized the states who legalized marijuana have actually, it's amazing. I feel like Donald Trump. It's absolutely amazing. It's one of the best stories you'll ever hear in your life. So let me tell you. Let me get on to the story that I'm going to tell you. The states that legalized marijuana have actually collected more in tax revenue from the sale of marijuana than they have from the sale of alcohol. And everyone in the U.S. at least is like, obviously, I mean, like, do you not understand how much the peoples of the Americas lacks the marijuanas? Okay. America loves drugs in general. Okay. This is proof from the opioid crisis. Okay. That should have showed you, like, people in America like the drugs. Maybe we don't give them opioids. Maybe we just give them the Mary Janes. Less addictive, easy to kick. You know, you get older, you don't have as much reputable damage as you do from opioids. You just kind of go, I'll grow it. A lot of people I know that used to smoke when they were younger, like in teens and 20s and maybe even 30s, like in their 40s and 50s, a lot of the time they're just like, yeah, I just kind of outgrew it. I might smoke from time to time, like one, you know, every other couple months or every other couple weeks. If I had a hard day at work, I might puff, but there's no like daily use. It's like, nah, I don't even smoke every day, dog. It's just, I grew out of it. Like, I just, you know, I got a couple gummies here and there, you know, special occasion maybe, but like, I know when you were younger, it's like, yo, every single day, it's like, I'm burning down 4 or 5 blunts at a time. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, once you have access to it, it kind of just goes away. But it's just not a surprising story. Like, absolutely, they collected more tax revenue from the sale of marijuana. For one, they tax it higher. So that might be the main reason, is that, you know, you make more from a sale of, from what I understand from how the study read, you make more from a single sale of marijuana than you do for the similar amount of alcohol. So in that sense, I think they tax it by weight or whatever it is. They're making more that way. So that's also one of the things. Another is, this is by state. So some states brought in a little bit, some states brought in a lot of it. This is a collective of, they brought more in total tax revenue than they did for the sale of alcohol. Some states are different. Some states actually did bring in more from the sale of alcohol, while others had a massive swing in the sale of marijuana, such as California. California legalized it, man. That's crazy. It's definitely going to be legal throughout the state. Like I, one thing it was kind of always battling, like, should they or shouldn't they? But now that they see that so much tax money is being generated, I think senators and stuff are going to jump at it. Like, I really, like, these left, right, Republican, Democrat, independent, green is green. Like, you know, green is green is green. I just don't think even if you have the most, you know, I don't even know what to say. Like, even the most holier than thou politician on the left or the right saying this is a sin and you shouldn't be doing, even they gonna see that money like, all right, well, maybe we can, you know, let's see if we can get a couple of lobbyists here and there that want to highlight us. But yeah, man, it is what it is. You know, make your money, B. Make your cash, bro. Make all the monies. But I do think that's cool that it's actually showing that it is a profitable business. And as long as it doesn't get corrupt and people from out of town are trying to swoop in and, you know, conglomerates or, you know, whatever, monopolies is what it is. I don't care what nobody say. If you own all of the things as a single person, monopoly. But, you know, what a loss to rich people anyway. You know, they figured out the ways to get around it, you know. So, you know, the same way I get around the security glass in the Walgreens, they get around the long arm of the law. Anywho, depression sets in again. But yeah, man, I think that's kind of where I'm going to end it for today. I appreciate you guys for listening to me, for letting me ramble to you. Let me tell you about me being a voiceover artist. Let me tell you about me being a kooky individual, a cool cat to some of them. But I appreciate y'all, man. At the end of it, I just want to say, be cool, be kind, and be dope. And I appreciate y'all, man. I'm gonna sign off. That's it for me. Anonymous out. My love, peace, and chicken grease. Peace.